Captain Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. Welcome to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. It's my absolute privilege and pleasure to host this call each and every Tuesday night at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. I have some exceptional guest book for this call going into the fall and into the early winter. Next Tuesday night, definitely a night to mark your calendar. For the first time in at least 7 or 8 years, I will have Todd Falcone on my call. Todd and I go back many, many years in free enterprise network marketing and direct sales. Todd and I once were in a company together in the early in the mid-90s, and where Todd was one of the number one income earners in that company. I also had the privilege of giving Todd his very first speaking opportunity in San Francisco, California, January 2001, and he and I will reminisce a little bit about many of the events that we did together. Todd was also a keynote speaker at the very first ever More Heart Than Talent Mindset Conference with Mark Victor Hansen, followed the next 4 years with the great Jim Rohn. Todd was one of the featured speakers. Todd and I have hosted many events together, and you'll see Todd and I doing some events together in 2018. So he will be a guest on my call. For those of you who are coaching clients of mine, you've attended Breakthroughs to Success, I have some exciting insight for you. The Protege Writer Speakers Workshop, this will be a very rare opportunity for you. Not only is that a world-class event, a very intimate event for people who want to take their writing, speaking, branding skills to the next level, and if you've been watching some of our online marketing, we'll be teaching you some of the skills that we have learned building our sales funnels, building lead magnets, creating cultures, and being able to sell products online. We'll be teaching some of that content at that workshop. That is reserved for attendees of Breakthroughs to Success who want to take their game to the next level. But I have just booked Edward Griffin, who is a friend of mine for many, many years. Ed is the highly inspiring writer of The Creature from Jekyll Island. Now, this will be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you to see Ed. You can also find him on his website, realityzone.com. He also is very, very well-versed in cancer research, treatment, and recovery, and is a multi-multipreneur who has been around for many, many years, well over 60 years of entrepreneurship, authoring books, lecturing, speaking across the world. He has very, very interesting topics, mind-blowing topics to say the least. He will be covering the history of the Federal Reserve banking system and how to better get money right, along with Fred Lehrman and a whole host of other speakers at the Protege Writer Speakers Workshop in November. Saturday, September 16th, I'll be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire for the first time this year. I spoke in Boston one other time this year. Very inspired to be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire with Abby O'Neill and her team of exceptional business entrepreneurs. September 23rd, I'll be in Kansas City, Missouri. I want to thank Kalen Hobbs for hosting that event for me. That also gives me the opportunity to eat two of my best friends' restaurants. I'll be at Hayward's Barbecue on Friday night with my friend Eric Sweeney, who has absolutely turned that franchise, that restaurant around. Saturday night with my boy Michael Garozzo, my Paizan. Michael and I waited tables together, two different restaurants for 4 years together. Michael is a multipreneur and the head of the Missouri State Restaurant Association and the owner of multiple Garozzo restaurants. You can find me there on Saturday with my Paizan, the godfather, Michael Garozzo. On September 29th, 30th, and October 1st, I will be in Orlando, Florida, speaking at the Network Marketing Way to Wealth Conference with many, many exceptional internet marketing, network marketing, direct sales speakers, and superstar trainers. October 8th, I will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. October 21st, Albany, New York with Frank Pecoraro. Frank, thank you for hosting that event. Looking forward to that. October 28th, Norwalk, Connecticut. Marissa Campbell. Marissa, thank you for hosting that event. That will be fantastic. That will be November 11th in Orange, County, California. November 18th is an open date. December 2nd, Atlanta, Georgia. December 16th, Rye, New York. And December 30th, I'll be closing out the year again with Brittany Cara and Marissa Campbell in beautiful Marina Del Rey. Now, those are a few of the places that I will be speaking in the very near future in the United States. So those are a few places you can catch a More Hearts and Talent Mindset Conference. If you've not taken advantage of my free one-on-one 15-minute coaching calls, feel free to contact me at 209-932-0227. And with that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Now, this is a topic I've covered a few times over the lifespan of my career, and I'm going to give a little deeper insight into this tonight on how to really deliver your message in 30 seconds or less. On my desk is a book that was published in 1986, How to Get Your Point Across in 30 Seconds or Less. How to Get Your Point Across in 30 Seconds or Less by Milo Frank. This book was written in 1986. I have yellowed out the pages. I've read and reread this book on many occasions and have bought more than one copy of it. It's how to be able to articulate your feelings into words and how to be able to create a result with doing it. For those of you who are branding, social media, you're using that platform to create leads, create traffic, create a culture, create a following, it's important that you learn the difference between writing a post and writing a blog. If you want to create leads online, it's important that you know how to write content directed at the people that you're seeking. You want to be able to attract your reality, qualified buyers. People are looking for your products, services, benefits, and features. Also, people are looking for a business opportunity. People are looking for a way to live their dreams. So there's communication style and writing style that you learn to master to be able to use persuasion skills and persuasion techniques. I started studying neuro-linguistic programming, which is the neuro is the brain and the five senses of the brain, and then the programming, the linguistics, would be the words. So once you start to use words that are persuasive and write content that's persuasive, you're able to be much more effective in the way you communicate and articulate yourself. Have you ever asked someone a question and they're speaking for 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and then you diplomatically interrupt them by using their name and re-ask the same question, and they completely checked out and had no idea the question that you even asked them? Well, unfortunately, that is a large percent of society. They are not skilled or clear in their communication style. If you grew up in a household with passive-aggressive parents, grandparents, if you had challenges with a brother or a sister, or you didn't measure up, you weren't competitive, you weren't good enough, or any multitude of situations, and you were put in a position that you had to validate, justify, and explain yourself, why did you get a B+ and not an A? And your communication style is based on that type of communication where you validate, justify, explain, and you talk in paragraphs or you tell stories, then there's a high probability that your communication style will not be effective when it comes to selling, branding, and marketing. Now, anyone who understands internet marketing understands that it's the content that you write that will attract the following that will follow you. It's not only the content you write, it's a CPC, conversions per click, which is your open rate. There are terms like split testing. Russell Brunson, if you ever see Russell Brunson's ad on the right-hand side of your Facebook pages, click on them, because his communication style and writing style is very effective. If you ever read anything by Frank Kern, Brendan Burchard, the masters when it comes to internet marketing, branding, and selling. These are people that my team, Chris Shar, Carolyn Olson, consistently follow. We buy their products, we follow what they do, and then we replicate, duplicate, and we write in some of the same type of style to be able to create a following, a culture, a list. You should have an email list, a Facebook fan page eventually, and you should also use other forms of social media to attract and or create leads. And you also want to watch and understand how Facebook constantly makes changes to your message. I just learned some content today that if you put certain words in your content, Facebook blocks that from going out to a list, and only a small percent of your list gets to see your content. And you have to really really be on top of your game when it comes to communication. If you're going to be a professional and not an amateur, then it's important that you learn how to speak, articulate, deliver, ask questions, listen, answer, ask, etc. But if you have anxiety about any of these situations, then you already have a story about an outcome that hasn't happened, and that will inhibit you from being able to have a clear, defined message. If you have challenges setting clearly defined short-term goals, well, it's also a high probability that you're overwhelmed, unskilled at this process, and aren't good at the outcome that you're seeking. And you're going to find that most of the American populace, when you ask them a question, has challenges answering it. That's why they use a sound That's why well is a second sentence. That's why a large percent of society checks out, gets overwhelmed, and has challenges delivering their message. Now, to be able to deliver your message, to be able to get your point across, to be able to be clear. Now, I don't like to use the word direct. Many people go, well, you ask direct questions. Actually, I ask clearly defined questions about the outcome I seek, and I'm very good at leading a conversation. When you become skilled at leading a conversation, then you can create relaxed interviews. There's a huge difference between a relaxed interview and an interrogation. There's a huge difference between you doing all the talking and then you don't find out if you have a qualified buyer. Your objective is to attract and create qualified buyers for the product, benefit, features, services, and products that you are marketing. Now, when you believe in your product, that's an asset to you. When you have a sense of certainty about your products, company, organization, culture, vocation, or whatever the situation is, that's also an asset because it means you're going to telegraph that belief. But when you also have anxiety about the outcome, you're in disbelief, it's going to affect your message. A large percent of society has broken communication style, means they have gaps and delays in the way they communicate. And instead of being able to deliver your message in 28 to 31 seconds, a large percent of society fumbles around with their word choices. Also, if you are attentive, you don't pay attention. Attention is not something you buy. Being attentive is a skill. And as you become a skilled listener, you will hear the difference between what is meant and what is said. And when you start to understand why people do what they do, then that is a huge advantage for you. And if you ever coach someone who's sensitive and defensive, well, this type of personality tends to turn communication into criticism, and then they are very sensitive and defensive, and they don't understand the difference between insight and criticism. I don't give people constructive criticism. I offer insight. I create suggestions. It's a much more relaxed way to communicate with people rather than being critical, chewing people out, getting in people's faces. That's not the recipe to being able to create communication, collaboration, creating win-win situations, and most importantly, transactions. If you own a business, many people, they miss the mark. I'm in business to help people. That's great, but you're also in business for profit. Because if you don't have profit in a business, then you'll have a non-profit organization, typically from the discomfort of your home. You have to be able to create commerce, traffic, and create leads that frequently come to you so that you have qualified leads, because that's what enhances the law of averages when it comes to the outcome you seek. I am fortunate in the fact that I went to college in the late 70s or mid-70s and chose a degree out of left field called radio and television. I had no idea that that degree would lead me to understanding print media, spoken media, multimedia for the time in the 70s. I got an FCC license back when you used to have them. I started to learn to write sales copy both for television and radio. I took a multitude of classes that showed me how to write sales copy in 10-second increments in a 30-second window. I learned how to storyboard an ad in 3 10-second increments in 9 windows. So I learned how to be able to effectively persuade people. I started to study advertising, write advertising. This is when I was 20 years old, 21 and 22. I also took a class called Advertising Copy and Layout Design. I took photography in the journalism department. The college I went to also had a top-tier journalism college. I took radio, television, mass media, journalism. I graduated with over 140 credit hours, a lot of those specifically in my major, in the major that interests me, and eventually that really started to pay off for me. because I learned waiting tables in five-star restaurants, how to be able to get my point across, how to state my name. I would state the specials that were on the menu that night. I would make suggestions, and I would make package meals for people that would enhance the value of their experience. And the more I learned how to do that, I started to understand that my tips to ensure promptness started to become at the top of the house. I also noticed real quickly that people began to request my table, especially when I'd ask them to ask for me the next time you come in. I also had my own business card that our owners provided for us, and I learned a way to tap that business card, hand it to the person who paid for the check, and I started to watch that I started to have what were called call parties, people requesting my station. I became very attentive to that type of person, and I started to have attract people who were very prosperous and very good at the art of tipping to ensure promptness. Now, the more you understand people's predictability, why they do what they do, then you start to have the advantage. There's an NLP book called The Unfair Advantage by Lakin, L-A-K-I-N, and Associates. It's a workbook that is a must-have. It's called The Unfair Advantage by Lakin and Associates. I've had that book for over 20 years. And the more you understand how to persuade, not convince, there's a big difference between persuasion and convincing someone. Many times people convince by talking, and they talk about the benefits, features, services, but you have to be able to communicate with someone that's seeking what you have. Your objective in any kind of communication, whether it's written, spoken, or communicated, is to find out if you have a qualified buyer. It's also important that you find out if there's a problem that you can resolve. When you can provide the solution to a problem, you now begin to enhance the law of averages of being able to create a transaction. Now, when you're able to understand people's attention span, it's about 28 to 31 seconds typically. There are people, as you become captivating, you become skilled, you become experienced, you can hold their attention a little longer, 45 seconds up to 2 minutes. Occasionally, you will see a commercial, which is actually, it's more of a mini, it's called a mini-fomercial. It's a mini-infomercial that's only 2 minutes in length. Now, you may have seen infomercials that Gunthy Renkor produced. Gunthy, G-U-N-T-H-Y, R-E-N-K-O-R, one of the top infomercial companies in America. At Network Marketing Way to Wealth, one of my good friends, Shelley Weiner McGuire, who was on this call in 2016, who was also on Home Shopping Network, Home Shopping Channel, for 9 years. She had a product called 2-Minute Miracle Gel that she eventually sold to a network marketing company. She had an infomercial on Gunthy Renkor that was shown all over the world. She was very skilled at media buys, the copy that she used, how to do a demonstration, how to do a presentation. For those of you who had the privilege of seeing the great Susan Sly at Millionaire Blueprint, she absolutely crushed how to do a home presentation, a home party, how to speak from the stage, how to have iris contact, what to wear when you're hosting an event, the difference between wearing white and black, the difference between wearing solid colors. I mean, these are all the advantages that you learn as you become a skilled professional versus a novice or an amateur. This takes dedication to your craft. This is the inner game of speaking, connecting, and closing sales. If you've ever seen the movie Glengarry Glen Ross, Adam Baldwin comes from uptown Manhattan. He comes down to the little sales office with the broke salespeople, and he goes. It was a classic. He goes, first prize, Eldorado Cadillac. Second prize, a set of steak knives. Third prize, you're fired. A, B, C. A, always. B, B, C, closing. Always be closing. So when do you close? Early and often. You close with your communication style. You close with your energy. You close with the way you ask questions. You ask trial closing questions throughout a conversation. So if you ever watch a 30-second commercial, it's broken down into three 10-second increments. There's the introduction. There's the body of the ad. There's the benefit, feature, and service is showcased in the second 10 seconds. And then the last 10 seconds is the call to action. That's the romance. A large percent of products that we buy them because they're going to make us feel better. They're going to make us sexy. They're going to make our sex better. They're going to improve our sex appeal. Have you ever seen the old commercial with the comb going down the woman's hair? Remember the Prel bottle where you drop a pearl in a green and it's slow? Well, that's all very very seductive how that is done. Have you ever seen liquor commercials? Liquor commercials and beer commercials make us sexy. One of the greatest commercials campaigns ever done is by Budweiser, and they absolutely steal your heart with the dog that gets lost in the van, then it finds its way home, and then the Clydesdale kicks down the stall, and the horses come out and rescue the dog from getting attacked by the wolf. That gives you your limbic brain, you're going, ah. So if I drink this beer, I'm going to be a humanitarian. That's what the message is. And once you understand the way media sexploitation works and you understand the appeal that it creates in the limbic brain, because we buy emotionally, we do not buy logically. One of the biggest challenges that most people do is they enter an engagement, or they enter an agreement, and they try and sell or speak logically. Well, that's not how people buy. They don't buy logically. They buy emotionally. This is the very reason that people go into malls, The Call of the Mall. There's another great book called, it's called The Call of the Mall. It's called Why People Buy, written by a great writer named Paco Underhill, who breaks down in absolute detail how the retail industry sets up displays. Have you ever gone into a grocery store recently? Typically, most of the patrons that patronize a grocery store go into the left door, not the right door. Even though there's two doors, statistics will prove that most of the people that park in a parking lot will actually walk further to the left door if there's two doors equally distant apart than they do the right door. In the first 5 feet of any grocery store are sticky, gooey items, which means your back of your tongue begins to salivate. Now, the minute you pick one of these up, and they're always in clear plastic containers, so you see them, the minute you pick up bread, sticky, gooey items, which are virtually sugar and yeast, the back of your tongue begins to salivate. Now you're going to be off the shopping list. You ever notice how the produce is either on the left side or the right-hand side? The liquor department is usually on the left-hand side also. And if you understand how products are spaced out, shelf space, retail outlets fight, or retailers fight to get their products at eye level in certain aisles and shelves so that you buy. And the more you understand how packaging, what that does, eye appeal, and all the other situations, this will affect you to easily brand. Now, I teach the art of the two-call close, or the one-call close. Now, you're going to go to seminars, rallies, conventions, and events, no matter what company, what industry, you're going to hear the fortunes in the follow-up. Okay, so there's merit to the fortunes in the follow-up, and you're going to hear someone say that I got called 371 times, and now I'm a millionaire. Okay, well, that's great. That's an isolated incident. That does happen. Follow-up is important, but you got to learn this term, common sense, street sense. Don't follow up with people who aren't qualified buyers. When you're really good, you're not prejudging people, you know people. When you know people, then you don't make mistakes. One of the biggest mistakes you make is you get seduced by someone and you believe that someone really needs your product, and then you spend time with a non-qualified buyer, then you get disappointed that that person doesn't make their appointment, that person doesn't follow through. You call that person, you get their voicemail, and the reason you typically get someone's voicemail, because you didn't effectively qualify the buyer, you didn't effectively schedule the appointment, you weren't listening, you had your own agenda, or you were worried about making mistakes, getting in trouble, all the other multitude of situations that amateurs create by not being professionals. You require the repetition and the experience, the communication style. I recently asked a waitress if she kept her options open when it came to creating additional streams of income. Her answer was, I'm going to nursing college. Now, I didn't ask her that. I didn't ask her what college she was going to. I asked her a question. I asked her if she kept her options open when it came to additional streams of income. I've also asked this question to waiters and waitresses. Have you ever considered owning your own business? Well, I wouldn't be good at that. I didn't ask them if they'd be good at them. I asked them a clearly defined question. I ask a yes-no question on purpose. I recently asked someone at one of my events, have you considered purchasing the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop? And that person said, to be honest with you. I didn't ask them to be honest with me. I asked them a yes-no question on purpose. That was a trial closing question. That question is a close-contained question. That is not an open-ended question. An open-ended question is a different question, and it merits a different response. When you're communicating in 30 seconds or less, you want to ask a series of questions in a sequence. Where are you from? That's something I would ask someone in an elevator. Well, I oftentimes will look in the elevator when I'm in an elevator, and I will look at the name tag on their bag, and I will see if I can see where they're from. I'll also look at their mannerisms, eye contact. If there's any warmth going on, I'll see if we can do a head nod. How are you today? What floor are you getting off on? Where are you from? How are you doing? I mean, this is small talk. Then there's fact-finding questions. There's rapport-building questions. As you start to understand this, then you absolutely have the edge. I give speakers occasionally the opportunity to showcase their talents in a minute or two at one of my events, and I teach a specific speaking style at my event, the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop. We actually tape off a box on the floor. We show you how to walk the distance in this box. We show you how to connect with the left side of the room, the right side of the room, how to find three or four people on the left, three or four people on the right, and that is who you market to. You don't sell to a whole room, and you ask questions, yes questions. And you'll see me oftentimes say, how many of you have purchased this product from me? And then the first time, a lot of people don't raise their hands, so I'll ask the same questions twice. How many of you do not have this product? Now I've established who my buying audience is. That's who I'm going to market to. This is how to get your point across in 30 seconds or less. I oftentimes will give some of my speakers the opportunity to speak in 2 minutes. Well, that 2 minutes means that a minute and 30 seconds of it should be content, and the last 30 seconds of it should be a unique marketing proposition, a call to action. Here's my product. Here's my benefit. Here's my feature. If you'd like to find out more about how you can contact me, I'll be at the back of the room with the break. Feel free to approach me. I mean, this is what you learn to do when you're given an opportunity. What most people do is they start talking, they blow it, and they don't take advantage of the situation. Now, I've actually had 20-minute speaking engagements in front of several thousand people and had multiple five-figure results. See, it's not how much time you have. It's the content and the close. So, and that this is what you learn to do. It's content and close. But if you're not skilled at this, then you'll spend most of your time talking to people. Now, how do you do this? You do this by repetition and experience. You do this by practicing. You have to also understand what your objective is. But if you just fumble around in a conversation, then you don't really have a clearly defined objective about the outcome you seek. Now, when you get good at this process, and I ask you, can you tell when someone's a qualified buyer in the first few seconds? My students will go, oh, absolutely. Now, they don't prejudge people. They know. They've done it long enough to know that they can tell by mannerisms, by the way people have gaps and delays in their communication, by the way they check out, by the way that they communicate, by the questions that they ask. The questions lead to the outcome you seek. When you become skilled in your communication style at asking questions about the outcome, when you become relaxed in your body, when you're able to sit down and compose on command, when you're able to easily and effectively write in a style that attracts followers, as you start to do these, start to master these skills, then you're going to see your engagements become higher, your open rate on your emails are going to get better, your scheduled appointments show up, people show up for your launch parties, when you call people, they are there, when your writing style, when you're very clear in how you set an appointment. I had someone recently, I set an appointment for 7 o'clock. I let them know that I had a very small window. They weren't available for the call. They eventually called me back, and the first thing they did was they let me know why they missed our appointment. And so when people do this, I mean, this lets me know a lot about the person that I'm speaking to. And in that 30 seconds, you want to be able to paint a picture. The reason I'm reaching out to you, the purpose of my call, the reason I'm calling you. I once called a doctor. My parents' doctor, his name's Dr. Don, I called him, he owns a clinic in Southeast Iowa, he's a quality man, I've known him for many years, he's my age, I used to play basketball with him, pick up games with him, very, very skilled professional, he also has been through some challenges in his life. He owns a clinic. I called him at his clinic. Receptionist answered. I let the receptionist know who I was, that I was a personal friend of his. My parents were patients. She was able to get him on the telephone. I engage with him a little small talk, then I ask him my purpose question. When you're communicating with people, it's important that you have a purpose and a purpose question. A purpose question is this: Don, the reason I'm calling you. Don, the purpose of my call, you lay the purpose out with a question. Now, you also have to understand that many people go, well, people buy from people they like. Okay, well, I'll give you credit. That is correct. But you don't have to be friends, homies, best buddies for someone to see the benefits, products, and features of your service if you're skilled at articulating your feelings. Now, I like to teach people how to close relatively quickly, especially on price points that aren't that difficult. Now, you're also going to find that whether it's a $600 product, a $6,000 product, a $600,000 product, a $60,000 product, a $6 million product, the right people will buy because they're the right person. And the wrong person buys typically because they're overwhelmed, they prejudge the situation, they're not a qualified buyer, they're not interested. You also must understand that people don't reject you. But when you have rejection consciousness, which is unfortunately a large percent of the population, they have rejection consciousness, meaning they have so much anxiety about failing, being rejected, being abandoned, that they telepathically send a mixed message before they start, then their communication style is very sensitive, it's very defensive, and most importantly, very ineffective. Your posture, now that is not the way you stand, your posture is the way you project. But if you project in anxiety, if you project in fear, if you project in doubt, it will definitely affect your outcome. Oftentimes, that's what creates the gap and delay in communication. You're not effective in 30-second increments in being able to deliver content, get a point across, ask a clearly defined question. When you're communicating with people, you want to communicate in 30-second sound bites, in 30-second communications. When you're closing, like when I close from the stage where I'm speaking, I'm not going to do a 10, 15-minute close. It can put an audience to sleep. But I'm going to have a relatively short close that showcases the value, and I'm going to ask for a commitment. That's the whole purpose when you are selling, branding, and marketing. Now, because you have to be able to establish, do I have a qualified buyer? Does this person have a problem I can resolve? You want to be able to expose the problem, showcase the value, and close on the value. When you start to understand this, this starts to enhance the law of averages of you being able to put the product in someone's hand. You're able to showcase the benefit feature. You're able to also showcase the value. When someone asks you early in a conversation, how much does it cost? Well, they just telegraphed that they're cost conscious, not value conscious. So when someone asks me the cost without me showing the value, I U-turn that question by saying, "Or if the value is great enough, does the cost matter?" Well, that depends. And I'll go, what does that depend on? Well, I have a budget. I said, I understand you have a budget, but my question was, if the value is great enough, does the cost matter? So I let people talk themselves out of my presentation, and I save myself a great deal of time by eliminating non-qualified buyers. Now, factor this. If you were selling real estate, would you go pick someone up on the other side of town, take them to the other side of town? If they didn't qualify for a loan, well, I would suggest you not. You should be able to qualify that person before you ever put them in your car. This is a key component when it comes to sales, branding, and marketing, and lead generation is attracting qualified buyers. Number one, a qualified buyer is typically a lot more interested than someone you call from left field. Not always. It also depends on how skilled you are in the first 30 seconds in creating curiosity, creating engagement, creating warmth, and creating win-win situations. Now, that means you have charisma, you're skilled with questions, you have good energy, you're transmuting sexuality, spirituality, personality, all the allities. You're able to create that in a relatively short period of time, and you're creating the engagement. Your objective is being able to engage people, especially people who are engageable. It gives you the opportunity to fact-find, create small talk, share experiences, warmth, create rapport. This is what begins to enhance the experience. But you also can do this in a relatively short period of time when you're skilled at asking the questions. I once had a woman call me on a Sunday morning, and she was attempting to sell me oil and gas leases. She was selling me like a $3,500 to $7,500 to $10,000, $15,000, $35,000 oil and gas speculation in West Texas. I interrupted her in mid-sentence because she was very ineffective. She was reading a script, and I asked her if she wanted me to show her how to close me. She wasn't asking me any questions. She was just fire-hosing me. And this is how many telemarketers do. They're not skilled at the engagement. They don't ask the questions. They don't qualify the buyer. And you want to be skilled at this, being able to create great connections. And you do that by having a style, by having a way, an approach that you go about the situation. In the first 30 seconds of any conversation, you want to see if the person is engageable. I'm talking about an airplane, a restaurant, a hotel, an elevator, any multitude of situations. When I get on an elevator, I immediately look and see if anyone has any eye contact. If everyone is looking down, everyone is quiet, no one looks at me, I know that no one wants to speak to me. Now, I'll occasionally go, how are you doing? Or if someone goes, what floor? See, there's a gesture. Then I'm going to say, thanks, how are you doing today? There's a possibility I'll be able to create an engagement. I'll look and see if there's any point of interest that I can ask them a question. Are they wearing a hat? Is there anything unique about them? Do they have a bag with their name on it? Are they a pilot? Oftentimes I'm in hotels next to airports. I'm with a lot of flight attendants, pilots. I call pilots captain. Who do you fly with? I ask questions. I can also tell by their tags, by their uniforms, who flies for Southwest, who flies for American, who flies for United, who flies for Delta, because I'm a professional flyer, which gives me an opportunity to ask a question. How long have you been a pilot? Where are you flying in from? Where are you going tomorrow? These are questions also that are 5 to 15 words that end with a question mark. 5 to 15 words that end with a question mark. The purpose of my call, I'm reaching out to you to see if you're looking for a way to create an additional income stream. I'm calling you because I'm calling to see if you're health conscious. Are you looking for a way to improve the quality of your health? I'm reaching out to you because I'm calling to see if you're looking for a way to improve your energy. See, this is how you start to ask relaxed questions in a sequence. What do you do for a career? How long have you been an attorney? Where did you go to law school? Is that a good profession? Is that a good profession? This is a great question to ask someone in the first 30 seconds. Now, this also means that you must let go of your anxiety about this, prying in people's affairs, being nosy. I mean, where does that term even come from? I mean, just putting your nose in other people's business, being nosy, making mistakes, getting in trouble, offending someone, saying the wrong thing, saying the right thing, making a mistake, blowing someone off, any multitude of stories that you tell yourself, you have to let go. And you also have to let go of being cynical. You also have to let go of being anxious about, are they going to ask me this question? What if they ask me this question? Well, they will, because you just telegraphed it. What if they ask me how much money I've made? Well, your presentation, your ability to qualify someone, has nothing to do with how much money you've made or haven't made. It has everything to do to see if you have a qualified buyer. And as you let go of your anxieties about outcome, you'll be much more effective at being able to ask this question: how serious are you? How serious are you? That's a trial close question. As you become skilled at writing and speaking, you'll be able to paint the picture. That's your unique marketing proposition. That's a UMP. As you begin to lay out your UMP, your unique marketing proposition, then you can effectively ask for the commitment. So you ask commitment questions throughout a conversation. A commitment question is typically a closed-in question. You're also going to ask a series of open-ended questions. Why do you want to improve the quality of your health? That's an open-ended question. Why do you want to start a business? It's an open-ended question. How long have you been a doctor? That's a closed-in question. Where did you go to medical school? That's a closed-in question. Have you ever imagined what life would be like if you didn't have to commute 2 hours a day from Manhattan to Connecticut? What's it like to drive on the 405 freeway in rush hour traffic 24 hours a day? That's an open-ended question. That's a pain question. That's a question that you use to expose someone's pain. Have you ever considered what it would be like to have a 30-second commute from your bedroom to your boardroom? That's a closed-in question. That's a yes-no question. Have you considered changing the quality of your health this year? That's a closed-in question. Why would you want to change the quality of your health? Open-ended question. There's rapport-building questions, fact-finding questions, small-talk questions, and you learn to do this in 30 seconds or less. As you master your emotions, meaning you're no longer in fight or flight, you're not in anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, or overwhelmed feelings, as you let go of some of these anxieties and you start to be and stay present, as you're able to effectively articulate your feelings, as you're able to ask questions in a sequence, as you're able to also address the passive-aggressive personalities, yeah, so what's this about? This is about me looking for people who want to change the quality of their health or their wealth. Is that you? That's a U-turn. That was done in less than 30 seconds. When you encounter someone that's aggressive, abrasive, confrontational, has to be right, you're going to, you don't want to enter into any kind of conversation that's going to be confrontational. Your objective would be able to neutralize this situation, not by matching anger with anger or hostility with hostility, but you want to come across with warmth, power, and not control, but a command of your emotions. Your objective is never to control the conversation. Your objective is to have a relaxed conversation. Your objective is to qualify a buyer if you're selling, branding, and marketing. Your objective is to establish rapport, fact find, small talk, have a conversation that's conducive to an outcome you seek. Your objective is, and you also have to understand that many people will tell stories. You have to let go of your guilt in interrupting someone who's going on and on. That term is called the drunkologue. And if you become skilled at this process, you will understand that a large percent of the population can't answer a question. They answer questions by telling stories. And if they're going on 2 or 3 minutes, it's going to be your responsibility, the ability to respond, to use their first name, interrupt them by using your first name and go, John, I can appreciate where you're coming from. I ask you if you're serious about improving the quality of your health. I mean, every single day I'm in my coaching clients and people I communicate with, I'm attentive to the people who have challenges answering a question. Oftentimes they check out on the question I ask because they're not attentive, they're not listening, they're overwhelmed, and there's a lot of anxiety or fight or flight. This is going to be a large percent of society. It's going to be your responsibility to understand the cause and the effect of why people do this so that you can create the ultimate 30-second messages. The ultimate 30-second message means you're so relaxed in your body that you're able to introduce yourself. You're able to state your purpose. You're able to ask questions in sequences. You're able to pick up the words that people are using in their answers, and you pick a word out of their answer, put it in your next statement, and turn it into a question. When you ask someone, are you in a position to purchase the product today, or you ask any commitment question, or do you feel good enough about purchasing our products today, do you feel relaxed enough? Do you see the value that you'd feel comfortable in committing today? When someone says, well, that's a preposition, they're typically going to tell you, well, this sounds really good. They're going to use another preposition, but I don't have that kind of money. Money's a key word in this conversation. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have the money. It means they've used money as a reason not to commit. I'd use the name John. I can appreciate you don't have the money right now. If you did have it, would you purchase? John, do you see the value? This is another trial close question. Now, I'm not going to go into any kind of interrogation when I receive objections, but I'm going to ask potentially one or two questions, provided I read the situation that this person is a qualified buyer, they're giving some buy signals. But I recently did a 15-minute coaching call with a chiropractor. He did all the talking. I attempted to ask him a couple of questions. He dominated the conversation. At 14 minutes and 58 seconds, I thanked him and let him go. I never even got around to presenting my value because I could tell he wasn't interested. Well, many people go, well, don't you think you're prejudging him? No, I knew that this person wasn't a qualified buyer, wasn't going to buy from me, and wasn't interested. When people aren't interested, you let them go. You typically don't follow up with people who aren't interested. You would follow up with people that give you buy signals, that perhaps the timing isn't right. They ask you to get back with them a later date. Now, that's a whole other situation. You have to be able to read, do they really mean that, or are they just telling me that to blow me off? Are they telling me what I want to hear, or is that really what they mean? So that's your responsibility to hear what's meant, not what is said, so that you, once again, can be very effective at your 30-second message. I like to use my name and where I'm from frequently. When anyone sends me a message on Facebook, I'll use their first name. The sweetest sound to a person's ear is the sound of their own name. The sweetest, one of the sweetest words to someone's eyes is their name. Jeff, thank you for reaching out to me. And then I'm going to write short content. When someone writes me story after story after story in Facebook or any social media, my answers are relatively short. So if I actually read my answer, it's going to be about 10, 15 seconds. When someone asks me complicated questions that are so complicated, I don't want to answer it. I still, once again, I keep it under, my writing style is under 30 seconds or less, as is my speaking style. I will occasionally explain a situation, but I won't go on and on and on and on and on. I want to keep the conversation moving. I want to keep it fresh. I want to keep it diplomatic. And I also am very skilled at letting go of people. You can do the same thing. Now, if you are in lead poverty and you are desperate and you have broke thoughts, then many people, their message is very unclear and very ineffective, and they start telling benefits, features. They start talking. They start telling why this would be good for you. And now you can also share your testimony, and there's nothing wrong with sharing your testimony, but once again, you don't want to spend a half hour on your testimony. You don't want to get into too many details. What many people do is they overcomplicate the communication, then the prospect goes, wow, this is really complicated. This is difficult. I don't want to do this. You want to be able to, what you're doing, you want it very simple. You want to be able to duplicate it. You want to be able to replicate it. You want to be able to pass it on. You want to be able to outsource where you can be able to qualify someone. You can have them review something else so you don't have to do the explaining. If you have to do the explaining, then you have to be an expert. And if you're an expert at explaining, then the prospect has to be an expert explaining. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be a tactician. But you want to be very skilled at is people. The more you understand why people do what they do, the more you understand how predictable people are, the more you understand that many people can't commit, the more you understand that most of society doesn't listen. They check out mid-sentence. They hear half of a conversation and they start talking. The more you understand that many people are sensitive and defensive. This is the repetition and experience that you require and the 10,000-hour habit to be effective so you can deliver the ultimate 30-second message. When you're skilled at the 30-second message, you'll do the same thing over and over. I called my accountant today. His name is John DeLuca. I had a very short conversation with him. He answered the phone. He said, hey, Jeff, how you doing? I go, John, the reason I'm calling you, just like I would a prospect, I had a specific question for him about a check that I had just written. I wanted to know if I could write this situation off. I had two questions for him. I was off the phone in less than 3 minutes, and that's exactly about how long I had for him. I also talked to my attorney, who is very long-winded. And just even the thought of contacting him, knowing how he is, he likes to talk. I frequently use his first name and cut him off. I was on the phone with him for 5 minutes today. And even that was a victory because he could have easily spent 15 minutes explaining content to me that I don't require understanding. I already read what he sent me on Friday. I went through it myself. I skimmed it, and I'm not going to read it all. And he wanted me to go over page 5 through 7. And see, this is how many people are. Now, he's being thorough. He's being detailed. That's his job. I understand it. He's protecting me. I have him on retainer. But I don't have that freaking kind of time right now today to hear all this content. So this is what you want to be able to do. So when you ask someone a question, they're going on and on and on and on. You want to look for the exit door. You want to be able to use their name and move the conversation along. The more you do this, the better you will get at being able to deliver the ultimate 30-second message. You also want to be able to write a 30-second message. That means that's how you write a post. A post should be able to be read in less than 30 seconds. Now, there are some posts where you hit the more button and they're a little longer, and some of those are effective, but typically you're writing a 1-2-line post, a 4-5-6-line post. Someone can read that in 30 seconds or less. They can also easily cut and paste it. They can share it. They can move it along. That's what creates the traffic. So when you're writing, you want to be able to write what will give your clients the best value. You want to be able to deliver content that will allow them to follow you. You want to be able to write content that's interesting, that's engaging, that inspires people, captivates people, interests people. When you start to write and speak in this communication style, leads become a way of life. People begin to follow you. Persuasion becomes a skill that you begin to master. And so you have this type of situation along, this means you operate in a relaxed sense of urgency. You're not frantic, you're not frantic, you're not overwhelmed, and you also must be a very skilled listener. That means you're checked in, not checked out. You're in your body, not out of your body. When you're overwhelmed, worried about an outcome that hasn't happened, you have virtually set yourself up to be disappointed before you even get there. You have to let go of your anxiety about outcomes that haven't happened. You have to stop telling yourself stories about what people are going to think about you, and you have to learn to ask the questions. What you're going to find is a large percent of the population is not interested in your products, your services, your benefits and features. What you're going to find, if there is a large enough percent of the population that is, that you can be a millionaire anywhere from 2 to 4 years, provided you start to master your emotions, you master the skills, you create a culture, you create a following, you create email lists, Facebook lists, LinkedIn lists, social media lists, you start to create a brand. You have a fan page, eventually you have team pages, you have product pages, you have multiple situations of people who begin to follow you. That kind of following starts to become qualified buyers. Then as you start to be able to do this, then you have people that go in your inbox and go, I've been following you, I'm ready to purchase, I'm ready to buy, I'm ready to join. This becomes a part of why you play the game. These are the sales that come to you effortlessly and easily because of the person you are becoming. And the more skilled you are in your writing and speaking style, you begin to enhance your law of averages. And here's what many people do. I'm not good at writing. Well, I just took you out of the game. I have challenges sitting down and putting my thoughts on paper or putting my thoughts on a screen. Well, if that's how you speak, then you've already set yourself up to be disappointed. I have a lot of anxiety about making the phone calls. I don't like rejection. I don't like the word no. When you speak into existence the very situation you seek to avoid, you begin to magnetize your reality, the very situation you seek to avoid, to fulfill your disappointment. As you easily and effectively learn to let go, then you are in command of your emotions. You start to improve your communication. You start to hear what people mean, not say. You're able to ask questions. You're able to trial close easily and effortlessly. Have you ever considered hiring me to be your coach? I ask this question frequently. It's a standard question I ask when I'm at a live event. When I'm at a live event, that's a captive audience. That means people are sitting down. Theoretically, they are listening to me. And if I'm effective in my communication style that day, there's a high probability that a few people will buy emotionally from me. People aren't going to buy logically from me because I don't deliver logical content. I deliver emotional content that affects people emotionally. Now, when you start to understand that people buy from their limbic brain, not the neocortex of their left brain. So even when people lift up the hood of a car and it's shiny, there's a lot of chrome in the hood, and there's all these wires. Now, if the engine looks absolute disaster, it can affect the purchase price. It can affect the purchase. When you understand this, same thing with curb appeal at a house. If you're taking someone in a house and the kitchen's a disaster, the first thing the buyer goes, wow, this is going to cost me a lot of money. If the bathroom is a disaster, this is why people, they set up houses so they look lived in. They're called stagers. People get paid very well to stage a house. It means they set the house up, an empty house. They rent furniture, put it in there, so they make it look lived in, so they make it look warm. When there's an echo in there, when there's not furniture in there, it doesn't look lived in. There's a term called curb appeal. Curb appeal means paint the picture. So when you're able to paint the picture easily and effortlessly, you are unequivocally enhancing the law of averages of the connection. My name is Jeffrey Combs, President and Founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Thank you for being on tonight's call. This call is officially a call. Have a great evening, everyone. Thank you very much.